Heavenly Father, we pray that you will take my words and speak through them. Take our hearts and speak to them, that each one of us may hear your word today. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. So we have the story of temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, which seems to come up every Lent on the first Sunday. Lent, as we all know, is a season of 40 days leading up to Easter. In the early church, it was a time of preparation for baptism and confirmation of new Christians. And it had been a time during which those new Christians would be prepared for their baptism at Easter, a time of teaching the faith, a time of discipline, study, and growth. And we began Lent, of course, on Ash Wednesday. I had a rare privilege on Ash Wednesday of preaching a sermon in the morning and then hearing my colleague, Father Brian, preach on the same text in the evening. It's always interesting how somebody else will take the same text and preach differently. Complementing one another, I would say. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that might be a theme for Lenten discipline. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Where do we put our treasure? Where does our heart lie? It's a time to explore and deepen our love of God. Or, to put it more accurately, it's a time to discover the depths of God's love for us. Because we love because God first loved us. And that, I think, is the most important thing you will ever hear me say from this pulpit, that God loves you. You. Substitute your own name for that word. God loves you. Linda, Blair, Brian, Kathy, so on. God loves you. And God loves and accepts you. And so, if that's true, we also ought to love and cherish ourselves, because we're those loved by God. And Lent is also a time to review our rules of life. And I'm sure you know what I mean by a rule of life. That kind of set of rules that we make for ourselves about how we deepen our relationship with God. We may not consciously have made them, but we've all got them. Rather like the man who comes home from work and stops on his way home to buy several bottles of whiskey, goes home, consumes them all. He's got his rule, it's not written down, but his God is in the bottle and eventually takes his life as a sacrifice. We all have our rules of life, even if we've never formulated them. And what are the rules by which you maintain your relationship with God? Mostly they'll be about prayer, about the Bible, about meditation, about receiving the sacrament, about worship, about almsgiving, and so on. And when I've acted as spiritual director to people and talked about rules of life with them, they often make very serious rules about all those things. Often, far too serious and impossible to keep, and then they feel guilty. I often end up saying to people, what about the rules that cherish you as God's lover? What about making time for yourself, for your interests, your hobbies, your family, your friends, relaxation? Those are as important a part of your duty to God as coming to church. I'm sure you've heard of the Swiss psychologist Sigmund Freud. There's a story about him that a very wealthy patient of his wanted an appointment on a certain day at a certain time, and Freud said no. At that time, this wealthy patient was walking along the riverbank in the town where they lived, and on the opposite bank, he saw Sigmund Freud walking along the bank, obviously relaxed and enjoying himself. And he was very angry because he said, "You weren't doing anything and you refused to see me." And Freud said to him, "I had an important appointment that time. It was an appointment with myself, and it's one that I never break." Sometimes making time for yourself is important, because we need to love ourselves as well as our neighbor and God. Now, God will challenge you to change. He will want you to grow and develop. And your Lenten discipline should include some kind of challenge. But when God changes you, he will not change you into a different person. Many people seem to think that that's what they have to do when they become Christian. But God wants to change us, not into different people, but into the best person we can be. He wants you and me to be the best you and me that we can possibly be. And we get into problems when we try to be someone or something we are not. And finally, that brings me back to today's gospel, because there are three temptations with which Jesus is faced. And there is one thing in common with them all. That Jesus is tempted, Jesus is tempted to deny his true self and base his identity on something else. The first temptation is to take stones and make them into bread. Do this and people will follow you. He is tempted to find his identity not in who he is, but what he can do. And the same temptation faces us. Our abilities and what we can do can be where we find our identity. Jesus, later in the Gospels, refers to himself as the bread of life, not the one who makes bread. "I am the bread of life." The second temptation, and incidentally, if you think this is the third temptation, that's because in Luke's gospel it is the third, but in Matthew's it is the second. Might come in useful in a pub quiz one day. So, the second temptation, Jesus is taken to the pinnacle of the temple and tempted to throw himself off, and angels will come and bear him on their hands safely to the ground. He's tempted to make a great demonstration of divine power, and if you do that, your reputation will spread and people will flock to follow you. He's tempted to find his identity in his reputation, in what other people think of him. And the same temptation faces us, doesn't it? We all want to be appreciated and affirmed, and that's good and right, but it's a distortion to base our identity on what other people think and expect of us. And to do that is to rely on something that is just fickle. This week, I might be considered the greatest preacher you've ever heard. Modest, too. But next week, it might be completely different. It doesn't matter what people think of me. It matters that God loves me, and I am a beloved child of God. And then the third temptation, The devil says to Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms of the world. There they are laid out. He can see them all from the mountaintop and their splendor. And all these things he could possess. Aren't we all tempted by possessions and by wealth? And that's especially so in our modern societies. How many times do you see magazine articles, the 10 wealthiest people in the United States, or something like that? The temptation of wealth and possession is very real, and it's wrong to find our identity in what we possess. Father Brian referred to this in his sermon on Ash Wednesday. If there is something that we possess that we cannot let go of, then do we really possess it, or does it possess us? Our possessions can possess us rather than the other way around. We become chained to them. And when I'm talking about possessions, it's not just material things that we possess. What about our intellect and our knowledge? What about our spiritual possessions, our abilities and graces that we've received from God? Those are our possessions too. And when we place our identity in them, we're letting ourselves down. Jesus was very critical of some Pharisees for exalting themselves over others and looking down condescendingly on them because I am better. The Pharisee in the temple praying, look at me, I pray so often, I give alms, I fast, etc. I'm not like that tax collector. Those are the people that Jesus condemns. And so the question coming out of today's gospel for me is, where do we find our identity? The temptation is to find it in our possessions and our wealth, in our abilities, our reputation. Really, our identity is that we are beloved children of God. And what could be more important to anything than the fact that God loves us? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.